You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Research from Georgetown University showed that only about 5% of entry-level jobs in the next decade will require advanced math skills. Research also shows advanced math courses can be a roadblock to high school graduation and for college admissions.
So if we're not doing very well in these advanced math classes as we know them, and we're not going to use it that much in the future, should students be required to take those courses? Our next guest says that requiring advanced math is a barrier to graduation and careers for many promising students.
Andrew Hacker joins us now. He's an author and professor of political science at Queens College in New York City. His most recent book is called The Math Myth and Other STEM Delusions. Andrew, welcome to Central Time.
Well, good to be with you, Veronica.
Andrew, you're not against the teaching of math, but particular kinds of high-level math being required. Where do we start to run into trouble?
Well, we are now requiring a full menu of mathematics, algebra, geometry, trigonometry, moving toward calculus, of everybody. It's one size fits all. The Common Core, which every student in the state of Wisconsin is going to have to take, requires 2 years of algebra to pass, and we're going to have a high failure rate as a result.
Yeah, let's get into that more. What's the damage done by requiring algebra and beyond for all of our high school students and requiring advanced math for college admissions and in college, too?
Well, let's just do it by the numbers. In the United States today, 20%, 1 in 5, of our young people does not graduate from high school. Just go out in the street, and 1 out of 5 doesn't have a high school diploma. And the biggest academic reason for not getting that diploma is they failed an algebra course that was required. When it gets to college, okay, you have kids who do make it through high school, want to go to college. 45% of the people who enter our colleges don't get a bachelor's degree. The reason? Guess what? Freshman math required of everybody, even if you want to major in dance or literary criticism, still have to do the math, and huge dropout rates. We're shooting ourselves in the foot.
But does the fact that something is difficult for students mean that we shouldn't do it? Does it maybe mean that we should retool the way we're thinking about it and the way we teach it instead?
Veronica, I'm a college professor, and I am all in favor of difficulty. I don't think I've ever taught a dumbed-down class in my life. The question is, what do you want to be difficult about? If that's the case, we could make everybody do push-ups for 10 minutes before every class. I happened to teach a class of my own devising, which is an alternative to the mathematics sequence. It's called numeracy. It's not a very elegant term, but I use it, numeracy 101. And we could talk later about what's in it, but students have said to me, you know, Mr. Hacker, that course in numeracy was even more demanding than my high school class in calculus.
But they get something different out of it, I presume?
Yes, what I'm interested in, and what I think we should all be, is not the math sequence, which is really very academic. It's, you know, what academic mathematicians want us to do. In the real world, we have to be quantitatively agile, quantitatively adept. We have to deal with numbers automatically as if they're a second or third language that we have. And therefore, what I'm interested in is actually taking the basis in arithmetic that we all have and got under our belts by grade 6, and making it a more sophisticated arithmetic, more adult, so we can use it to, let's say, assess corporate reports or the federal budget or studies on climate change. That doesn't require math. That requires just plain numbers.
We hear a lot about how students today have to be able to compete in the global marketplace, that there's maybe a shortage of especially women going into STEM fields, but that the U.S. needs to step up its people going into STEM. So would getting rid of some of these higher math requirements hurt or help in that department?
They really hurt. I have a chapter in the book called Gender Gaps, which shows how this irrational, even sadistic emphasis on the full mathematics sequence really harms women. Now, in fact, girls and women do better in math in their classes, but the real barrier, as we know, are the standardized tests, ACT and SAT, and their emphasis on speed. Well, girls are more thoughtful. They're more conscientious. They like to think about questions. And once you start doing that, you're wasting precious seconds. You know, on the ACT test, they only allow 60 seconds per question. The boys dash ahead. The girls stop to think, and they're penalized.
Talking to Andrew Hacker, his new book is called The Math Myth and Other STEM Delusions. Andrew, when this kind of topic comes up, the defenders of our current math system say, hey, even if we're not directly using trigonometry, say, in our daily lives and our careers, learning it, going through the process of learning it, teaches us a kind of mathematical thinking, a sort of discipline that we wouldn't get otherwise. How do you respond to that?
Right. There's the notion that, hey, math, if you take math, you know, and you master algebra and trigonometry, that will sharpen your mind and make you a more thoughtful person generally. There is no evidence to back this up. No evidence that somebody who has done more work in, let's say, algebra is a more thoughtful person when it comes to political issues, social issues, what have you. There was a newspaper columnist who once wrote, you know, he said, I know people who are expert at Fermat's theorem, but they keep marrying the wrong women. You know? So I have found no place at all where I can say that people who are ahead in math are just smarter or more logical than the rest of us. No.
A lot of times, you know, young people don't know what they want to go into for their future careers in high school or even, you know, the early days of college. If students don't get some of this math early on, are they going to cut themselves off at the knees if they do want to go into a career in medicine or technology, for instance?
Okay, great question, Veronica. First of all, why do they have to take the full math menu all the way up through calculus? You know, there's no reason for that. You can get a taste of math in 9th grade, 10th grade, and see whether you like it. And by the way, I'd say that the onus is on the math teachers to make their subject interesting and exciting, so people will say in the school, hey, you know, Mr. Rosenbach teaches a fantastic course in trig, or Ms. Schultz does a great course in calculus, and kids will go to it. But historians, people in literature, they know how to make the subject exciting. Math teachers should do that too.
Now, you're a professor of political science and math, as I understand it, and in your teaching, you have an idea, I think you call it citizen statistics, stuff that will inform our lives as citizens. What kind of things could we learn in a math class like that we could use as we, I don't know, analyze a presidential campaign, say?
Well, exactly what you're saying, Rob. Now, in fact, I don't want to be, overly professorial about this, but my course, even though it's listed as a math course, is really an arithmetic course. Now, people say, arithmetic? That's for elementary school. And my answer is no. Arithmetic is what adults use all the time. We hardly ever use math. When do you last use algebra? So, in the class, take, for example, an exercise that we're going to be doing in a couple of sessions from now. Who are the people behind Donald Trump? Let's do it by the numbers. Let's look at who turned out for the primaries. Are they a large group, a small group? What is their previous affiliation, Democrat or Republican? There are lots of statistics on this. You have to put them together and think with the numbers. The numbers have a story, and you have to find out what's being told.
I want to take a caller now. We have Mike on the line with us in Madison. Mike, hi.
Hi, great topic. I just was discussing this with my teenage nephews about how important math is. Myself, I am a carpenter, just lower middle class carpenter who uses math nonstop every day. And had you told me in high school I was going to be using this much math, I would have punched you. But now I know how important math is. And as many of my friends now are going to college for a variety of things, math is so important. And everything from just figuring out the timing of a streetlight to how to organize, how to set up the algorithms for computer games. If you want to be a doctor, you got to have math to know your medicinal amounts to apply for your medicine. Math is in every single thing we do, and unfortunately, America produces the least amount. The United States produces the least amount of engineers of all the first world nations because we are so lacking in math. And a lot of college kids have a really hard time when they get into the scientific studies of higher education because they lack the math skills to continue for things, simple things, things like biology and chemistry.
So, Mike, you're saying that math is important. What about these higher courses of math, though, like trigonometry and Algebra 2? Do we really need that much math, do you think?
That, believe it or not, that all comes into play. I do... I'm a college dropout, but I do calculus and geometry and algebra nonstop. I use the Pythagorean theory at least once a day. It's in everything we do. Even if you work at McDonald's and someone says, I need you to come up with ordering, it's obviously that simple math.
Oh, Mike, come off it. At McDonald's, they do not use algebra and calculus.
Mike, thanks for the call, but that's the distinction you were making earlier between arithmetic, very important in our lives. You're saying the higher math, except for the computer coding he mentioned in there, maybe not as important in our daily lives, Andrew.
About, as you said when you were introducing the program, only 5% of occupations need high school level math and above. And Mike, as a carpenter, perhaps he uses calculus as a carpenter. If he does, I'd be happy to have him do work for me. But by and large, only 1 out of 20 people use math in their occupations. And more than that, Mike mentioned engineers. Do you know that according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics projections for the next decade, we're actually going to need fewer electrical engineers than ever before? The reason? There's a process called de-skilling. Jobs that used to be done by someone with a college degree can now be done by technicians. And as a result, we'll need fewer electrical engineers. So there's no shortage. In fact, we're going to end up with a surplus of people with STEM qualifications.
We're talking to Andrew Hacker. His new book is The Math Myth and Other STEM Delusions. He says advanced math, pretty much algebra and beyond, is a stumbling block for students at all levels, leads to dropouts for students who might otherwise be promising, doesn't necessarily help us in life or our careers. We should stop, he says, requiring it.
And we want to hear what you think about this. Should advanced math be required? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. What was your experience using math in school and later on in work? And do you think there are benefits to learning advanced algebra, trigonometry, and beyond? If you're a math teacher, what do you think? Should it be more exciting? Call 800-642-1234. We're picking up our conversation about requiring advanced math courses for students, and we're joined now by Andrew Hacker, who wrote the book The Math Myth and Other STEM Delusions.
He says we shouldn't require all the algebra, trigonometry, calculus for high school and college students. There are better ways, more useful ways to teach and learn math. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What was your math story? Was it a stumbling block? Did it lead you to change your career, your major, because of that math requirement? Do you think it should have been that way? Do you think we should require these classes? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we'll take a caller now. We've got Nathan joining us in Waukesha. Nathan, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to add?
I'm just calling up. So I guess I'm an engineer, so I do personally enjoy math. But if your numerology is a good substitute, I can accept that after I see it, I guess. But what I wanted to say was I agree somewhat that we can cut out the extra stuff that we don't necessarily need for our careers. And if you're going off of that, I was wondering if your guest is okay with me as an engineer cutting out some of those humanities, arts, cultural classes, and that kind of stuff from college or high school or whatever.
Okay, Nathan, thanks a lot for your thoughts. First of all, it's not numerology, it's numeracy. We should talk more about what that is a little bit, Andrew, but also let's talk about trimming some of the other things. I mean, couldn't you make that argument about a lot of things? If you don't use it, we should get rid of it, and that can be maybe a slippery slope.
It sure could be a slippery slope. And as a professor of political science, obviously, I like my field, and I have friends who teach history and literature, and I'd say the same. What interests me is that we require a full 4 years of math, on and on and on. We don't require that kind of sequence in courses in poetry or courses in, let's say, psychology or sociology. We allow students to taste. But my question could be put, how much math is too much? And I think we've really passed the too much hurdle. That's simply what I'm saying. Something else also I'd say, that mathematics is beautiful. It's elegant. It can be taught as a liberal art. And I wish that students, teachers would do this. And then students might flock to it and say, hey, it's a kind of arts course. I'd love to take it.
Thanks a lot for the call, Nathan. We'll go next to Gail in Fish Creek. Gail, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. This takes me back, this conversation on math, takes me back to what quantum physicist Richard Feynman had said about changing the educational curriculum for the U.S., for all the grade schools, to start with a basic fundamental physics first, teach the children before they even learn how to add and subtract numbers, to learn just that elementary part. And that would help them to comprehend and assimilate, and every new math class that they would get and how it would advance up to algebra and fractions and get into trig and all that, it would be so much easier for their minds to comprehend because they would have this basic knowledge of how everything, the universe works.
Gail, thanks for that call. I want to get Andrew in on that. So the idea they're giving a conceptual framework to hang that math in as we learn it from a very early age. Interesting idea. What do you think, Andrew?
I think Gail is onto something very interesting and important. Combining physics with math, you then begin to see, you know, how does an airplane stay up in the sky, you know, 500 tons? Well, there's a math behind that. Let's do it together. But there's something else. Our mathematics teachers, and I hate to say this because so many of them are friends of mine, both at high school and the college level, want it done only their way. They sneer at applied mathematics, applying it to anything like an airplane or to elections or to finance. They want to do it, if you look at any math textbook, while they may have, you know, illustrations about two trains going in the same direction, the fact is it's still pure mathematics. They regard the other kind as demeaning, dumbing down, and they lose status if they have to teach it that way.
So, Andrew, if math were taught more like that, do you think that we'd still be seeing the barriers that you say math is presenting, and would you still be calling for us to maybe teach less of it?
Yes, if it were taught more as what I'm calling a liberal art. I'm sure that students would, you know, be interested, take to it, and the rest. Currently, though, because it is so abstract and so much, you know, by the way, mathematics is one right answer. Do you remember that? You have to get the exact answer right to the second decimal point. That's what's true in the SAT and so on. In the real world, and our friends, the engineers, like Nathan, will tell us, we do estimating. We don't need it to three decimal points. We say it looks like 2.5 inches, give or take. But that's not allowed in math. Math has to be no estimate. You couldn't have the SAT or ACT if we allowed students to estimate.
Talking to Andrew Hacker about mathematics education. His new book is The Math Myth. We'll go next to Brandon on the line in Madison. Brandon, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Mine sort of builds off of the last caller, actually. I'm a recent college grad, and I just reflect back on all my high school courses that I had to take, and in all 4 years I had to take math classes, and I go back into college. And for the most part, I retake two classes that I had to take in high school. Sure, you can test out of them, but by the time that you're a sophomore in college and reflecting back on something that you learned your junior year in high school, that's a huge time span. And I just think that the amount of times that I could have or wish I would have been able to take a class in regards to how to file my taxes, how to handle my student loans, how to look at a mortgage or even what a mortgage is.
Brandon, thanks for that call. So, Andrew, practical math of our everyday lives, would that be part of our numeracy training as you envision it?
Well, partly practical, but, you know, I really don't want to spend a college course or advanced high school tour in how to balance your checkbook or even an exercise like, is it better to buy or lease a car? I want to get really more difficult problems, like, you know, how does the Electoral College work as opposed to the popular vote, where you have to strain your mind and use numbers to understand reality a little better. Could I say something that Brandon just mentioned about at the University of Wisconsin?
Just briefly?
Brandon, the University of Wisconsin has a very good faculty, but why do they insist on freshman math for all their incoming students, even if they're majoring in dance or whatever? I think they've just been awed by their mathematical colleagues who seem so mysterious up there in the clouds and knowing so much we don't know, and they accept what the mathematicians call for.
We'll have to leave it there. Thanks to Andrew Hacker, professor of political science and math at Queens College, New York City. His most recent book is The Math Myth and Other STEM Delusions.